We started today talking about the Clemson Football Tigers. Is this a team that can win out and still get in the college football playoff? We'll talk to a national college football writer for CBS Sports, Shehan Jayaraja, here in just a moment. I do want to get into this story right here, okay? I found the NFL and just college football in general to be so unbelievably insane this past weekend. And I'm more of a look towards the future kind of guy, which is why, you know, in the last hour we were not talking so much South Carolina versus Georgia, but more South Carolina looks like they can really beat Kentucky this past weekend, or excuse me, this upcoming weekend. But Lonzo, I know you are a college football NFL. You want to watch every single game, but I mean, you have to admit, we were talking last week about how the slate of college football games was so bad for this weekend. But goodness gracious, we had a ball. I was like, wow, this is insane.
Yeah, you know what? We have those one of those weeks like that every couple years, but usually on that week, it ends up being a bunch of upsets. So in this case, teams still won that were supposed to, but it was really, really close, really tight, and very entertaining.
So let's go down the list, right? Alabama versus Florida was obviously probably the most compelling from a national perspective, which leads me to this point. We are missing the major point about that game, okay? I'll share it in just a second, but let me just run through this list of games, okay? So we had UCF versus Louisville that pretty much ended with back-to-back interceptions, and the final play of the game, UCF quarterback Dillon Gabriel got hurt. Just crazy storylines from that game. Then we had that high school football game where, legit, that was the craziest high school comeback I've ever seen. Bishop Gorman High School, which every year has five ESPN top 300 guys, laid the biggest egg I've ever seen. They were up 24-7 with a minute 30 left, and they lost 25-24. I believe ESPN Upstate tweeted out the highlights. You can check it out there on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Then, of course, we once again, Florida-Bama, Nebraska pushed Oklahoma to the bitter end. We also saw UCLA. What a game versus Fresno. Now, once again, if you are in the South Carolina region, that game ended at 2 in the morning. But still, wildest ending you'll ever see, wildest final 5 minutes you'll ever see was that game. And then, of course, we had a crazy day of NFL. Mike Zimmer, I'm telling you, he's going to murder that Vikings kicker. They're now 0-2. They blew that kick. And then, obviously, we had the Sunday Night Football game. It's wild, 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 wild. So, Lonzo, let me ask you this before I share this Bama and Florida point. Which game was your favorite?
Favorite as far as, you know, on the edge of my seat, not knowing what was going to happen at the end. I'm going to go with the Chiefs and Ravens.
Yeah, that was so good.
Well, because you knew it was going to come down to the last minute or so of the game, no matter what, and it did. And the outcome was not my favorite, but the game itself was a lot of fun to watch.
And you know what's interesting? You know you have a really great game when the most amazing play from that game isn't even talked about. That Travis Kelce run after the catch. Are you kidding me, Lonzo? Are you kidding me?
It's because you look at his size and you think there's no way he can do what he's doing. But he's been, this season more so than seasons past so far, he has been dominant. And, I mean, he has looked like the tight end in the NFL. And, you know, some years he is, some years it's George Kittle and it goes back and forth. But this is his year so far.
So this, I understand you want to not be braggadocio about your Chiefs. I'm actually pretty diehard about this. Kelce's been the best tight end. We are watching the greatest tight end of all time. He's the best of all time. I understand that this will – I know the old schoolers are about to call in and say, Kellen Winslow, you weren't alive. Mike Ditka, what's up? What are you doing, young gun?
And see, for a long time, I would say I would have said Tony Gonzalez. And,
right.
And, but now, yeah.
No, it's Kelsey.
We're seeing some amazing tight ends in the NFL right now. But, okay, all right. You're absolutely right. It's Kelsey.
It's Kelsey. You go look when you actually go look at the raw numbers, and I understand most people will say, "Well, Andy Reid, it's Andy Reid, and it's Patrick Mahomes." No. Okay, and it's not just that run after the catch touchdown last night that was just so unbelievably insane. It's the consistency. First team All Pro every year. Five of the best wide receiver tight end seasons we've ever seen. To peak as long as he's peaked. He is the best. Better than Gates, Witten, you want to mention, he is better than that. Those guys cannot do what Travis Kelce does. And to the point, you know, we touched on this last week. I'm kind of becoming a Travis Kelce card collector. He has some iconic-looking rookie cards, partially because no one really expected him to do what he's done. So I really do like Travis Kelce a lot. I'm a big, big, big fan. 1-844-477-3776 coming up in about 10 minutes. A college football playoff expert, National College Football Media, Shehan J. Raja will join us. Now, I know we spent a lot of time talking about Clemson today. This, to me, was the biggest story. Obviously, Alabama versus Florida, but it wasn't the game itself. It was the fact that Alabama was pushed. Now, we touched on this last week, and I'll touch on this again now. I know we are super passionate about certain things in college football. Some of you are really passionate about keeping the rivalries, keeping the tradition. Some of you watch college football because you're a big fan of the NFL, and the NFL draft just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So you care more about watching the next crop of NFL stars. Some of you are just fans of the college football atmosphere. The one thing that I love about college football more than anything else is the schedule. It's the magnitude. It's the structure of the sport. And the reason why I'm so passionate about it is it indirectly makes us love the sport more than ever, and more so than other sports. If you're really wherever you're driving or listening to where you are right now, every last little thing about college football fandom is indirectly related with how much each and every game matters. Because if you are someone that just goes out to tailgate and just goes out there to have a good time, guess what? You want to know why all those people are showing up for that game? Because that game means a lot to your schedule. You can't say that about baseball. You can't really even say that about the NBA or just any other league, even including the NFL. You can lay a few really bad eggs, and especially now with the 17-game season and 17 playoffs, you can really – you have some wiggle room, but now you just don't have it, okay? So, this weekend, Alabama played Florida. They only play once every 6 years, and Alabama only goes to the Swamp once every 12 years. Now, I know I'm an LSU fan, but I'm also a big Nick Saban fan. We don't have LSU football if it wasn't for Nick Saban getting the dynasty or our success going in 2003. So, do not take what I'm about to say as a knock to Nick Saban's legacy. He is the best coach of the modern era. Dabo is in the realm, and Urban Meyer is number two, okay? However, it is without reasonable doubt that Alabama has been aided by the archaic SEC schedule model, where Alabama gets to play Tennessee every year, okay? Now, Alabama, of course, is one of the few top 15 recruiters in the SEC, all right? Now, there are a few others, Florida, LSU, Georgia, and Auburn, okay? Those four schools have to play each other every year, as in Florida and LSU have to play every year, Georgia and Auburn plays every year, okay? Alabama, for the Saban reign, has not only played Tennessee, they have beaten them down. The games have not been competitive. As many of you know, Tennessee is a mess. So, this past weekend, Alabama, as a 14.5-point favorite, raised a really interesting question. How much of Alabama's dynasty is somewhat related to the fact that they rarely play some of the best teams in the SEC East, whereas their best rivals in the SEC, the other schools in the conference that can actually win a national championship, have had to play every season a cross-division opponent that is a top 15 recruiter. So, yes, to me, this game this past weekend, Lonzo, proved to me that maybe Alabama, part of their success is that they don't get challenged as much as some of the other SEC schools.
I don't, you know what, I guess you could say that, but this past week was the first time in a while that they've actually been challenged during the regular season. I don't know. I don't think that's it. I really don't.
No. Well, okay. Here's the thing, though. It's not that they won. It's that the game was competitive, right? They rarely have competitive opponents, okay? And I understand, trust me, Clemson fans and the ACC, you hear this all the time, but you as a Clemson fan could bring up the same thing about Alabama, and that the other SEC schools don't have this extra game in their schedule every year that Alabama doesn't, okay? And the fact that Alabama gets to avoid playing in the swamp once every 12 years. Now, tell me this, Lonzo, and answer this simply, okay? Can you really have a conference where you're only playing other teams in your conference once every 6 years? Is that really even a conference?
Well, it's saying something about the conference, I guess. It's saying that you are so dominant that you have to go elsewhere for competition.
Yes. And it also shows that the SEC schedule model is bad. And look, the Texas and Oklahoma thing joining the SEC, it's going to force the schedule to change, which is obviously really, really, really cool. And I am really, really, really excited about that. But still... It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. And I understand I'm an LSU fan, and trust me, the game I look forward to every year the most is that Florida game. It's turned into a really vitriolic thing, but it doesn't mean that it's fair to either of those programs. And it's extremely unfair to Auburn and Georgia. And it's interesting, now that Texas A&M is now a national, or trying to be a national power, that they get to play, I'm sorry, South Carolina fans, they get to play South Carolina every year, and South Carolina has yet to beat them since both of them became cross-division rivals. It's a very fascinating question. Has Alabama been able to dodge Florida all these times? And I know that they played them last year, but once again, that game was also competitive. So, you know, it's just such a big advantage that you get to play Tennessee every single year. Anyway, before we get to this break and before we get to our guest, dude, Lonzo, happy birthday, big dog.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I had a bunch of people tweeting me, wish Lonzo happy birthday. And I was like, well, maybe he's not a guy that goes all out for his birthdays. Maybe he doesn't want me to wish him happy birthday. So I've been debating it. I was going to wait until a little bit later, but I had to tell you, man. Do you have any big plans?
Yeah, we're going out to eat, and I'm looking forward to gifts. And I don't care how old I get. I still want gifts. I still want to have fun on my birthday. And if I'm 105, I still want stuff, and I want to celebrate. I mean, it's another year, especially after this past year. A lot of people were wondering if they would be, I know it's morbid, but wondering if they'd be around for another year. So I'm glad I'm here. Are you kidding? Well, I'm here. I'm another year older, and I get to do one of the coolest jobs on the planet Earth.
Coolest jobs on the planet Earth?
Well, there may be cooler jobs on the other planets. I don't know. I haven't been to them.
Man, that's I mean, that's bold, man. I like this job. I like working in radio, but the planet, like, how do I, that's a blanket statement. I mean, that's bold, even coming from you, Lonzo.
Name me a cooler job where you make hardly any money, but you just have a blast every day.
Let's see. I don't know. That's a good question. But we are due for a break. Coming up next, will Clemson actually make the college football playoff? We'll speak to someone who does a weekly college football playoff podcast for CBS Sports. That's next on Upstate. His name is Shehan Jeyaraja, new national college football writer for CBS Sports. Man, he's written all over the country. We used to be co-workers as well. Shehan, look, we're in South Carolina, man, and obviously we're going to talk about Clemson. Is there a real route for them to the college football playoff if they win out?
I think that there's a route. And the other thing that you say about this, too, is that you look around the country, who really has been super convincing? I mean, I think that Alabama and Georgia are probably number one and number two in some order. But after that, I mean, Oklahoma nearly lost against Nebraska this week. I think that they're going to have a tough time in Big 12 play. Ohio State already has a loss on their record, and they look very vulnerable right now, too. So there's, I think, a lot of opportunities for teams that, especially if they're one loss at the end of the year, to still have a chance to get into the playoff. And the other thing, too, that you say is you look really at the whole top 10. I mean, nobody ended up losing, but five different teams were down to the wire in those games. This could potentially be a big chaos year. And if it is one of those years, I think that Clemson, as a potential one-loss team, definitely being better than the rest of the ACC, I still think they definitely have a chance.
So, look, I know it's really hard for you to watch each and every game, but you and I have discussed Clemson before just on past radio segments and just privately. And, you know, we've talked about how much we liked watching those Trevor and those Deshaun Watson offenses. And now this is just a clunker. What do you see is going wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, I didn't plan to watch much of that Clemson versus Georgia Tech game until Clemson kind of didn't give me a choice. So look, I don't want to overreact, right? I mean, it was a weird game. There was obviously the long rain delay. But the thing that I will say is that through a couple of games, something that we have seen is that I think that I'm concerned about this offensive line, especially that interior line that was really exposed against Georgia. And at least in this game against Georgia Tech, although a Georgia Tech team that really hasn't been competitive so far this season, you know, you got a little bit of a running game going. I think that Will Shipley looks like a guy long term, though, you know, he's still fresh and it's a lot to ask of him this first year. I think that it just makes the game so much harder when everything is focused around stopping DJU, right? Like, I think that that's really how teams have kind of gone at it is, hey, you know what? We're going to make everybody else beat us. And I think that, you know, Uiagalelei has played all right so far this year, but they're just doing so many things to try to take him away and make anyone else beat him, whether it's yards after the catch from wide receivers, whether it's obviously asking the run game to win. And I just don't know that this Clemson right now is able to take advantage of that, because I don't think that this is an issue with DJ not having the talent, right? We saw last year when they had all those good receivers, you know, when they had Travis Etienne, who I think is maybe one of the biggest losses that Clemson has had, obviously, you know, Trevor Lawrence being that too, but I think that Travis maybe is being felt even more right now. I think that that's just a tough situation for Clemson to be in. So they really need the rest of the offense to grow up around DJ. And I think that's something that can happen, but it's not something that's going to come easy.
Alabama versus Florida, and it obviously looked like that was going to be a cakewalk early. Florida fights her way back into it. What was your major takeaway from that game? And here's mine, okay? And Lonzo, producer, he and I got into it right before you came on. My big takeaway is, look, Alabama, yes, they've been the best team in college football, and they probably still win all the national championships, but it is so huge that they get to avoid Florida and Georgia every year on the schedule, and they get the and their cross division rival is Tennessee. My major takeaway is, has Alabama had the just such a huge advantage every year getting to avoid some of these stronger East teams as their permanent rival?
I do think that matters, but, you know, it's also not like they don't have a murderer's row in the SEC West, right? Like, it's not like they don't have to play Auburn and, you know, right now Texas A&M and LSU and whoever else, Ole Miss and Mississippi State have been really good lately. Arkansas looks like they might be a top 25 type team right now. So I don't think that they've only been this good because they're avoiding people. I mean, Florida, it's been a couple of years since they've been legitimately playoff caliber, legitimately national title caliber. And the other thing, too, is that they get Georgia every single year in the SEC title game. So they're not passing by anybody. I know what you mean about getting to miss some of these better teams, but it's been a while since Florida's consistently been one of these better teams, right? I mean, it's really just been Georgia for a couple of years there in the East. So I don't want to make too much of that. But the thing that I'll say, right, is that this Alabama team has looked really streaky so far this season. I mean, you see in that first quarter, they just go crazy. They dominate. And they kind of just sit on the game. And I will say, you know, that's something that I think that we saw at times from Bill O'Brien in the NFL. So that's something where you right. think, is this part of his DNA, right? Is that part of the issue? Because I think that Steve Sarkisian did a better job last year of kind of keeping it going. And that is one thing, though, is that that's very adjustable. I think that's adjustable through play calling. I think that's adjustable if you're Bill O'Brien through, you know, just kind of keeping your foot on the gas. I mean, it's funny now, Sarkisian being at Texas with the all gas, no brakes thing. But, you know, I think Alabama, at least through three quarters, could really use that because it really felt like they kind of sat on the game after that and Florida was able to come back. So I'm still not super concerned about Alabama. I still think they're clearly the best team or the second best team in America right now. But you can't have games like that. I mean, with how good the SEC West looks right now, with Texas A&M as a top 10 team, with Arkansas as a top 20 team right now, with Ole Miss, I think, at number 13 right now, like, you can't sit on games. And I think that this is a lesson that I think will really help them going forward.
Shehan Jeyaraja, CBS Sports, joining us. I want to ask you just a very blanket, easy question here, but it's also very layered. Can you name right now the best Big Ten, Pac-12, or Big 12 team right now, the best non-SEC or ACC team in America?
It's a tough question. I think right now I'm still going to go with Oklahoma, but Oklahoma has some work to do. And, you know, a lot of people are going to point to their defense, and I don't think that their defense has really been the issue right now. I think that their offensive consistency has been a huge issue. And one thing that I'll point to is that Oklahoma only has two scholarship running backs on the roster right now because of just a wave of wild things that happened. They had a guy transfer, they had a guy ruled ineligible, they had a guy kicked off the team because he was arrested. So, like, they're down to two scholarship running backs right now. And both Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray are awesome players, but it really seems like Lincoln Riley is afraid of using them too much because if one of them gets hurt, you're kind of out of luck, right? And so right. in this game last week against Nebraska, when Oklahoma was running the ball at will against them, when Nebraska was playing two high safeties to try to prevent the long passing game, you know, they only gave their running backs 29 carries. And that's just not enough when you've got a team like Oklahoma that can run the ball on anybody. And so I don't know how they're going to figure this out. Now, the one thing that I'll say is that in some of these bigger matchups, I do think they're going to run the ball 40 times or 50 times, something like that, right? And so I do think that because they're being so conservative right now in the run game, it does mean that they have more upside than they've shown. But I'll tell you what, I mean, you look across the Big 12 right now, there's a couple teams that have been a little surprising so far this year. You know, I think that West Virginia showed that maybe that opening loss to Maryland was a little bit of a blip. So that's going to be a tough game. I think Kansas State is a team that's beat them two straight times. I mean, they're going to have some games on the schedule that I think could give them some trouble if they continue to play conservative. But to this point, I mean, look, I think Oregon looks like a good team. I don't know if they have the upside that Oklahoma has. Ohio State, I still have faith that they're going to get it figured out, but they haven't to this point. So at this moment, I'm going to say Oklahoma, but I don't feel especially good about it.
You could follow him on Twitter, Shehan Jeyaraja. If you don't know how to spell it, trust me, I just tweeted it out. You want to make sure you follow him and check out his College Football Playoff Show podcast where they break it down every single week. Now, here's my final question for you. My longtime friend, Jeyaraja, he's come to my stand-up shows. He's also just been one of the best radio guests and just college football writers out there. You know, as far as college football as a whole, look, the big shadow over this year everyone made a big deal about the NIL and all those things. Look, the world hasn't burned down. Obviously, the world, everything's fine, right? Have you seen anything off the field, whether it be conference realignment, that has kind of overshadowed this season that has surprised you, or do you think everything is just going as normal?
You know, for me, I don't think that there's been too much of these factors affecting college football. I think that once the game started, once players took the field, that's all kind of in the rearview mirror, right? And it's actually been, during the weeks, kind of amusing. You know, you have kids like, not to call it a kid or anything, but, you know, like Hudson Card, who obviously had some NIL deals as the starting quarterback at Texas, and then him lose his job to Casey Thompson. That's kind of an interesting subplot to me, and I think that it's going to be something that advertisers and things like that are going to keep in mind heading forward with teams that maybe don't have a settled quarterback battle. But, you know, generally I haven't. I mean, I don't think that Bryce Young has been distracted, right? I don't think that DJU has been distracted. I think that once these games turn on, it's just like the NFL. All these guys have endorsements. Some of these guys make more money than other people. And once you take the field, it doesn't really matter too much. Now, when we get into the offseason with the conference realignment stuff, I think that stuff's going to definitely pick up again, and I think that's definitely going to be a big topic of conversation. And the one thing that you say is that I do think that when you're watching some of these broadcasts, a lot of broadcasters want to settle on it because it's an easy thing to talk about with realignment, and I don't think that's that interesting, right? I wish that they wouldn't do that so much. But once you turn on the game and watch the players on the field and see the wackiness of college football, I mean, it's very easy to not think about it, and I don't think that any of the players or coaches are thinking about it when they're on the field.
Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Make sure you follow him. Check him out, CBSSports.com. Coming up next, we will continue our Lonzo birthday celebration. And, I'll give you my best non-SEC ACC team right after this on Upstart. Special thanks to Shehan Jayaraja, CBS Sports. Yeah, he makes, number one, he's a better writer than he even is as a podcaster and radio guest. So make sure you read his stuff. Man, it's hard for me to disagree with pretty much anything he said, other than Oregon, to me, is better than Oklahoma right now. And I don't think it's close. I mean, Oregon's got the most impressive win in college football this year, and I'm sorry for bringing that up, Lonzo, on your birthday, but you're like me. You're a diehard fan of your team, but you're also objective about your team, and the Ohio State going there without your two best players and winning, even though it was a 35-28 game, Oregon just controlled everything in that game. And they've been dominant in their other wins. Stony Brook 48-7, even though Stony Brook isn't that great, still dominant. And then the Fresno State win, even though that was a little bit more of a scare, if anyone watched the Fresno State game, you saw that they probably right now have the best quarterback in college football. Doesn't look like it, but he is the best quarterback in college football. That is Jake Haener of Fresno State, who only went for 455 yards, two TDs, one INT, 39-53, and probably the game of the year up to this point, which was Fresno versus UCLA this past weekend. So, pretty interesting weekend. I would have to say, though, that Oregon is the best team. And it was good to hear, if you're a Clemson fan, from a national college football writer whose main focus is the college football playoff, that this year is chaos. This is not 2019 where we had LSU and they had their best team of all time. And then you had Clemson, one of their better teams. Then and all these other just amazing teams throughout college football. Ohio State, Alabama was amazing that year as well. So, yeah. But anyway, Lonzo, happy birthday, dude. Like, what do you, I mean, how do you feel right now?
I feel awesome. I do, actually. I do. I'll go ahead and say I am 53 years old. And
53.
Yes, yes, I am that old. I am ancient by some people. I am training people in the building who are younger than my children. So
what?
Yes. So but you know what? Radio, you don't have to grow up. This is where the Lost Boys come. This is where you stay a kid until you retire. And yeah, I love it. I'm good, man. Some people, when they get, I know some people when once they reach 30, they think it's done, it's over with, and they get all depressed. Why get depressed?
Oh, I know.
I mean, I have decent health. I've got a fun job. I've got a great family, wonderful friends, and you know what? I have the pleasure of talking to the Upstate on a couple of different shows, including this one. And I get to produce and co-host with one of the most awesome hosts in all of radio.
Yeah, the trophy award winning, co-certificate owning, Rob Brown.
Ain't no certificate, buddy. We got a trophy. We got hardware, Carter B.
No. You got, we discussed this. You have the hardware.
That's true, I do. It's because Lonzo's got so damn many of them, he ran out of room on the trophy shelf, dude. Uh-huh. It's not that I wasn't willing to share it. Zoe was like, no, I got enough. That one's yours. You can have it.
I do have a few trophies. Yes, they are. They are displayed with LED behind them, so that make sure that my name is the one thing that lights
should.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
As it should. No, hey, I wanted to step in to wish, though, a happy birthday. Carter B, you know all about the trophy, the hardware. Sincerely, I've told him this on our show, and I mean it. That trophy would not be with our names on it if it wasn't for Lonzo, who put the whole thing together that got it done. I can bring the best content in the world, but at the end of the day, if you don't have a guy who knows how to run the show, it's all for naught. Carter knows that. So do I. Everybody who's played on this side of the glass knows that if you've got a nitwit on the other side of it, you could be the best host in the world. You're going nowhere. But Zoe brings it every damn day on this show, and I appreciate it. So I just wanted to pop in and tell Lonzo happy birthday. There you go, bud. Happy birthday. I brought my man a little something from our nerd store, Carter Bryan, a little gift card from the nerd store so that he could add to his Funko Pop collection or video game collection or comic collection, whatever he wants to. I didn't want to, like, assume what collection Zoe was currently working on. So I brought him a little nerd something to add to it. But Lonzo, happy birthday, man. I appreciate the working relationship. The show has been absolutely incredible, and I think it's entirely because we've made a solid team so far. So thank you very much, and happy birthday, old guy.
See, I'm embarrassed and thankful. Thank you for the gift. And all right, I'm not. Thank you for
no,
the
you're
gift.
Not.
Thank
you're
you.
Not.
You know, everything you said was absolutely true, without a doubt.
You know, Carter, the only thing bigger than Lonzo's age is his humility. That's true.
That's true.
And
that's
true. I'm working on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, happy birthday, big guy. I appreciate everything, man. It's meant the world to me to be able to keep this show going the way it has and earn some trophies for it. Carter, thanks for letting me pop in for a minute, buddy. Enjoy the show, pal.
Yeah, hold on. What's coming up on the on Offsides?
Oh, you're making
later?
Me work now, huh? We're making me work now. Corey Diaz from the Greenville Times, who is our Gamecock beat reporter. He was at at practice today reviewing South Carolina. So we'll talk to him. A little reaction. I got to tell you, I know a lot of Gamecocks fans were like really disappointed that Georgia hung the 40 spot on him. But I got to tell you, the first half of that game showed me some stuff that the Gamecocks can build on a little bit. I was proud of them. You knew you were 32-point dog. They came in, they punched till the end. Now we're going to talk about what it means for them to be able to bounce back against Kentucky. Kentucky coming into the house, 5.5-point favorites this weekend. South Carolina might be able to shock some folks. And I think, Carter B., and I'd be interested to hear your take on this. I think I figured out what's wrong with DJ. I think I figured out two problems. Number one, I don't think the offense fits him the way that they hoped it would. I think that they thought that he was just going to plug into the way Trevor played and be able to do it, and he's not. And number two is a self thing. DJ Uiagalelei is like the dude that goes to the golf course that can sling a driver 310, 315, but once he gets inside of 50 yards, you know you're going to beat him because he's got no touch, right? He's got no finesse. DJ slings the ball with an absolute trail of vapor coming off the back of it because of how hard he throws. And the problem is when he has to throw into tight windows, he doesn't have the touch to do it, which is the number one difference between him and Trevor Lawrence. And the fact that he is trying to laser beam balls where he needs to have some finesse, I think really kind of backs Tony Elliott and Dabo into a corner in what they can do, which is why they are so reliant on the option when they're inside of 10-15 yards. How many options did they run inside the red zone this weekend? About 1,000? And right. So reliant on Lynn Jay and Will Shipley to bail them out of situations where DJ can't throw the finesse balls. I think that's the biggest problem, Carter B.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. And just from an outsider that doesn't watch Clemson as closely as you guys do, man, I'm just shocked watching the Ohio State game and watching them play now. And I understand Georgia's front was great, but, dude, their offensive line just doesn't move people. They just do not move bodies. And that's until Clemson fixes that, I mean, it's going to be hard to actually win a national championship.
Yeah, the option, Carter, is where the option goes when you can't dictate where you want to run the ball. And in years past, Clemson dictated where they wanted to run the ball. We're coming off guard, off tackle. They can't do that with this line, which makes the option the only option they have.
All righty. He's Rob. I'm Carter. Coming up next, we're going to give you one simple fantasy mistake I made this weekend, and I got to share it with all of you. It's Upstate. So I made a mistake with the fantasy football stuff. I'm a huge fantasy guy. I was very lucky for my personal YouTube channel. So for those that don't know, I do YouTube full-time. My history is in sports radio. And I am the bullpen pitcher for Mark and Rob. And look, I love fantasy football. I know most of the Upstate region is probably fantasy football players. And I'm not going to give you a specific mistake I made this past weekend, but I am going to give you a macro mistake. Don't get rattled when your opponent has one guy that basically wins them the week. You just can't get mad about it, okay? Derrick Henry went off. He was on a bunch of rosters that I was going up against this weekend. Obviously, if you have Derrick Henry, you're probably going to win this fantasy week. Guess what, Lonzo? It happens. It happens. Don't let it ruin your week.
And if you just went off the first half, you would have thought you're okay. But then he had a pretty good second half.
He's Derrick Henry. He's not a real human being. He's an alien. I really do believe that. I don't believe he's real. You can't still be this good with the snap share and carry share that he's had. It's unreal. This dude had like 50 carries a game in high school, and he's still doing what he's doing now. He's not a real human being. I just don't believe it. Coming up in the final hour, we'll talk to someone that actually thinks we should get rid of the AP college football poll. And he makes a compelling case. It's Upstate.